Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Hey, let me set the scene for you. The lights were dimmed, the room was dark. The only visible light was coming from overhead, lighting the stage. The audience waited quietly, patiently. Then he walked up to the microphone, a slender, unassuming man wearing glasses. Leaning into the microphone, he said, "I love you, son." Those were the last words my father said to me. Hello, my name is Don Callahan, and for 6 years, I hosted a live onstage event where speakers shared stories from their heart to a packed audience. And that was the opening line from one of my speakers. His story, which was a true story, continued. As an audience, we learned that his dad had hugged him goodbye as he headed off to university. He explained his family, his upbringing, his life, and that his father committed suicide later that day. And he explained how that singular event changed the direction of his life and how suicide awareness and intervention became his driving focus. He told a powerful story. It impacted everybody in the room that night, all 70 plus people that were in attendance. So how can that story reach more? How can that story be told and retold over and over again? How can his story be in rooms he's never stepped into? I believe this is the importance of writing your story, the importance of impacting others, and to coin a cliche, to boldly go where no one has gone before. Everyone has a story, and it's important to have your story heard. I'm a three-time internationally published author, and I'll be sharing my tips on how you can get your story published. Grab a pen and some paper, and let's get started. The first story I published was literally a joke. At the time, I was working in a high-stress position in a 911 emergency call center. It did not matter what day of the week it was or what time of the day it was. The phones kept ringing, people needing help. And I remember as I walked across the floor that we really needed right now was some calm. We needed a bit of peace. We needed a moment to catch our breath. And as I thought about that, I passed the workstation of Hazel, one of our top dispatchers. She had a soothing voice and a calming demeanor. Unfortunately, she was away on holidays. You see, Hazel was the proverbial duck in a pond, all calm above the water, paddling like heck below the water. And I had nicknamed her Hazel Grace, after the lead character in John Green's novel, A Fault in Our Stars. And tonight, we needed a little Hazel Grace. Then the idea struck me. Wouldn't it be funny if I wrote a children's book about Hazel Grace? She traveled often to Africa and elsewhere around the world for self-development, personal growth. And over the years, she told me stories of her adventures. Well, the night came and went. The 911 calls continued. Nothing changed. Except I could not get the idea of a children's book out of my head. I decided I would use it as a surprise for Hazel, a way of paying it forward to someone who was truly a miracle for others. So I got to work. I wrote the story as a Word document. I'd never had anything published before, so I didn't know what to expect. I had a slightly better than zero budget, but I had to get it illustrated, and I had to keep it a secret. And then fate happened, or divine intervention, or good karma, or the universe aligned. Whatever it was, I found someone to illustrate the book. And in a completely unrelated turn of events, I learned another one of my dispatchers was a trained illustrator. I told her my plans, she jumped on board, and the story started to take shape, and it was still being kept a secret. Next, I needed a publisher. I had no idea about publishing, no idea where to look, no idea on cost, none of that. And in a completely unrelated turn of events, I had a coffee meeting with a business contact. It was the first time we'd ever met. Well, apparently he just had a book published, and he connected me with his publisher. So I met with that publisher. I explained what I was doing, and more importantly, why I was doing it. And it was all to surprise a wonderful human being named Hazel. And the publisher agreed this book needed to be published. And to top it off, she published it for free. I only had to pay for the printing copies. What was meant to be a dozen copies and a good laugh has turned into 1,000+ books sold. And just as Hazel Grace is a world traveler, so is her book. The story of Hazel Grace and the Magic Blanket has found itself into the hearts of children and adults in over 8 different countries. And what has made the difference and changed my life is that when I share a copy with someone, I always ask, who can I make this out to? And it has never been to themselves. They always suggest someone else. They always pay it forward in true Hazel Grace fashion. What started as a joke, as a way to honor a wonderful human being, changed my life. We all have a story, but where do we start? I believe we need to start with our why. Every great story begins with a spark of inspiration, but maintaining that spark and turning it into a flame takes a bit of work. Before you put pen to paper or start typing away, ask yourself, why do you want to write a story? Your why is the reason and will guide your decisions, help you stay motivated, and shape the narrative. Start by reflecting on your personal connection to storytelling. Are you inspired by a life experience, an idea you can't shake, or a desire to make sense of the world? That was my motivation for Hazel Grace. Maybe you've drawn to entertain, educate, or to create awareness. That was my speaker's motivation to educate on suicide prevention. Understanding your motivation ensures your story remains authentic and heartfelt. What emotions or experiences drive your need to tell a story? Maybe you're excited to become a grandparent. Maybe you want to share tips and tricks. What themes or ideas resonate with you deeply? I think of songwriters. Really, a song is just a story that's been put to music, usually following a theme of personal experiences. How do you want your story to impact readers? We have all read a book that you just couldn't put down. Why was that? Because it impacted you on a personal level. What message or feeling do you want to leave your audience with? Depending on the type of story you've written, maybe it's an educational or instructional piece. Maybe it's with feelings of hope or inspiration. And who is your ideal reader and why? You have to know your audience. When I wrote Hazel Grace, I had to make a few revisions. Originally, it was going to be a joke between a handful of adult friends and coworkers, but ultimately, my reader became children or parents reading to children. I had to make sure my wordage and style matched my audience. While your why is personal, stories often serve a universal purpose. Depending on your story, it may ultimately connect people, share knowledge, and inspire change. Think of readers at a weekly or monthly book club. Different viewpoints get explored and discussed. Identifying how your story fits into this bigger picture can add depth and relatability. What aspects of the human experience are you exploring? What do you want readers to learn or feel? Why does this story matter? And just like corporate business, a mission statement is used to keep you on track and focused on the end result. To solidify your why, write a mission statement. It can be as simple as, I want to write a story that inspires young adults. Some questions to help us find our why. What inspired you to start writing in the first place? Maybe it's a legacy moment. My mother captured my grandfather's memoirs before he passed away. She wanted his adventures of being a rum runner during Prohibition. She wanted them written down so they wouldn't be forgotten. Is there a story or author that made you say, I want to do that? What makes you excited about the idea of sharing your story with others? If you could only write one story in your life, what would it be about? How has storytelling or reading impacted your life? I originally read A Fault in Our Stars because my daughter, quiet, somewhat introverted young teen, was reading it. And I wanted to get into her headspace. What issues or topics do you feel compelled to write about? What life experiences could be turned into a meaningful narrative? Is there a character or situation you've imagined for years? I have a friend who has a story waiting to be published since 1987, and now is the right time for him. How do you hope your story will make readers feel? Are there any personal fears or struggles you want to explore through writing? Sometimes writing can be very therapeutic. What unique perspective or voice do you bring to the world of storytelling? We all have experiences that are uniquely ours. And what motivates you to keep going when writing gets tough? If someone described your dream story, what would they say? This will help you determine your end goal. What did you want the reader to take away from your story? What legacy do you want your writing to leave behind? This can be deeply personal. My mother wanted her father's stories to live on. How will writing this story fulfill a personal or creative goal for you? Sometimes there are personal reasons for writing, sense of pride, respect, recognition. Maybe it's financially motivated. And then once you've clarified your why, it's time to bring your vision to life. There's a structure and method to writing, but it's still a creative venture. Here's a step-by-step guide to help you draft your story. Step one, you need to develop your idea. Start with a concept. It could be a character, a scenario, or a question you want to answer. Expand on this idea by brainstorming and exploring possibilities. For me, it was imagining Hazel Grace as a child, wandering through Africa with a backpack, learning important stuff about life. Some tips. Start with what-if questions. Begin by imagining scenarios. What if a character could relive one day of their life indefinitely? Kind of like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. Or what if humanity discovered a parallel universe? Kind of makes me think of like time travel or something. You can draw from personal experiences. Reflect on moments from your life that were impactful, challenging, or transformative, and consider fictionalizing them. This is very powerful because you have actually lived that story. Explore current events. Use real-world issues or news as inspiration to create timely and relatable narratives. Start researching your interests. Dive deep into a topic or setting that fascinates you. Maybe it's space exploration, ancient history, urban legends. Even combine genres or ideas. Mix elements from different genres to create something fresh, right? And observe the world around you. Pay attention to interesting people, conversations, or events you encounter in everyday life. Every day I drive past a man panhandling at a nearby intersection. What in his life led up to him being where he is? Use visual prompts. Look at artwork, photographs, or movies, and let the imagery inspire a story concept. Photographs do that for me. Maybe it's a white sandy beach, a photo of a couple on a gondola in Venice. Maybe it's a photo of an old historical ruin. Maybe write about a fear or desire. Focus on something that scares or excites you. That can add more emotional depth to your story. Or create an intriguing character first. Build a story around a character with a compelling backstory or unusual goal. With another co-writer friend, I'm working on a series of interesting adventures aimed at a children's audience. Even imagine the ending first. Think about the resolution or the climax of the story and work backwards to build a narrative leading up to it. Once you finish step one, we're on to step two, which is creating the outline. Obviously, an outline provides a roadmap for your story. Use a structure that suits your narrative, such as the three-act structure or the hero's journey. And whatever you write, it should follow these elements. And I know we've all heard of these elements. The first one is every story needs a beginning. This is where you're going to introduce the characters, the setting, and the conflict. Maybe your main character is a shy teenager, and the conflict is they have to do public speaking or something, and so on. Then the middle part of your story, you want to develop challenges, obstacles, and turning points. So now this young teenager, he's worried, right? He's got setbacks. He's insecure. There's self-doubt. Then someone comes in, steps in, gives him the shot that he needs. Maybe it's a teacher. And there's always going to be that turning point, that pivotal moment when he's decided, do I quit? Do I walk away? Or do I jump in? Right. And then finally, the third part of the story is the end, where the conflict gets resolved and there's closure, right? So this young teen is he's gone to the debate, he's channeled his fears, he's come through the other side, and he gets the pat on the back that he's been looking for. Then we get into step three. This is where we have to flesh out the characters. A compelling character is essential to any story. Create detailed character profiles, including their goals, motivations, and flaws. Think about how they grow throughout the story. And make sure you understand your character. I knew that the real-life Hazel Grace was always cold at work. She'd wear a coat, or have a portable heater, or have a blanket. So for my story, I gave her a magic blanket. And because she traveled to Africa, it had an African print design on it. What does your main character want? Do they have an end goal in mind? What stands in their way? How do secondary characters support or hinder the journey? Now we're moving into step four. We've got the framework done. Now let's start writing. Don't wait for perfection. Begin your first draft with the understanding that you're going to make mistakes. Get the words on the page. This is the stumbling block for many writers. Once they get started, they stall or they fizzle out, then they lose confidence, and then they stop. Writing is work. Some things I like to do. Set a daily word count goal. It doesn't have to be a big number. Sometimes that gets overwhelming. For me, it's easier to set a small target and exceed it than to struggle to hit a larger target. Use timed writing sessions to stay focused. I'm a professional procrastinator. I'm the king of excuses. But once I start writing, stories flow. Skip over sections that feel difficult. Go back to them later. If I'm struggling with a written thought or it's not flowing well, I usually highlight that in yellow and skip ahead. The highlighting lets me know that a certain area needs to be spruced up a little bit, needs some work done. Write dialogue or scenes you're excited about. Do that first, and it'll help build momentum. I'll do this on a separate piece of paper. That way, I have the thoughts and concepts out there, and when I include them in the story, I can cross them off my list. That way, I don't overlook things. Start each writing session by reviewing the last paragraph or scene you wrote. If you've taken a stretch break, a coffee break, or just starting back up, reread your writing to get into the flow of things. This will help you see the bigger picture of your story and maybe highlight where changes need to go. You can experiment with different writing tools or software to find what suits you best. Maybe because of my age or technical inabilities, I often write parts out in longhand first. I try to keep a journal with me at all times. Maybe a thought or idea surfaces when I'm at a cafe or a restaurant. That way I can jot it down and type it when I'm back home. Use placeholders for details when you're unsure about things and revisit them when you're editing. This is where my highlighter comes out. Either it's an old school yellow highlighter, or I'll highlight sections of text that I've typed up for further follow-up. And it's important to write in layers. Focus on the big picture first and add details later. Just like when an artist paints a picture, it starts with an outline or structure and then gets refined with intricate details. It's also important to take breaks to avoid burnout and return with fresh eyes. Use a timer when you write. Maybe take a break every 20 minutes or what works for you. Stretch, loosen up, take a walk, come back refreshed. And trust your instincts and embrace your unique voice. This is your story. Eventually, feedback is important, but this is your own stamp on things. And of course, everyone will hit the proverbial wall. You look at the paper, you look at the pen, you look at the paper, you think about your life choices. If you find yourself stuck, try these techniques to conquer writer's block and reignite your creativity. Maybe change your environment. Write in a new location, cafe, a park, a library, anywhere that's going to stimulate your mind. And this is strange. Free writing. Set a timer for 10 minutes and write whatever comes to mind without worrying about structure or quality. For me, this ends up with a bunch of blah, 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 and then I do some doodling. But once I've got the pen on the paper, thoughts start coming out, which is great. Set small, achievable goals. Break your writing tasks into tiny, manageable steps. Maybe you're just writing a single paragraph or a sentence, but break it down. Maybe read or watch something inspiring. Dive into a book, a movie, or a show that aligns with your genre or themes to spark new ideas. Just don't use this as an excuse to binge watch Netflix and you get no writing done. Well, publishing your book. publishing your story. That's a culmination of your hard work and creativity. Whether you choose traditional publishing, self-publishing, or hybrid publishing, understanding the options and methods can help you navigate the process. Really, there's three types. Traditional publishing, that involves submitting your manuscript to a book agent or a publisher who handles editing, distribution, and marketing. And there's pros and cons with each of these. Some of the pros is that you've got access to professional editing, marketing, and distribution networks. And typically, there's no upfront costs. But some of the cons, highly competitive to get into the door, you've got less creative control, and the process is a lot slower. Then there's self-publishing. That's where the author manages the entire publishing process, everything from editing to marketing, using platforms like Amazon or Ingram Spark. That's got pros and cons too. Some of the pros, obviously, you have full creative control. Your royalty fees or your rates are going to be higher. You can get it published faster. But some of the cons are that it requires an upfront investment. The marketing and distribution is completely on you. No one else is selling your book but you. And then there's the hybrid publishing. That's where you mix traditional and self-publishing together, where you as the author and the publisher, you're going to share costs, but you still have control. Some of the pros is that you've got professional support, you've shared the investment, the publication gets put out there quicker. But some of the downsides is that cost sharing can be expensive. Maybe you don't have the upfront capital. And sometimes not all hybrid publishers are reputable, right? So when you're out looking to choose your publishing method, you want to assess your goals. Are you focused on creative control, reaching a large audience, or maintaining low costs? For me, it's always about low costs. And research the credibility of the publishers or platforms. If you're paying good money to a publisher to promote and market your book, make sure you're getting the results you were promised. And consider the time you can dedicate to marketing and promotion. Marketing can be fun, but also time-consuming. And then once your book is published, promoting it ensures it reaches the right audience. Here's some strategies. Social media marketing. Create an Instagram or Facebook account for your book. You can put some teasers, some cover reveals, some behind-the-scenes stuff. Do a soft launch or a pre-sale event. Then there's book launch events. I launched Hazel Grace at a local restaurant. The restaurant would give to charity a percentage of the evening sales as long as it was promoted by me in my circles and it was held on a non-busy night. Just through word of mouth, we packed the restaurant, sold books on site, autographed copies, and raffled off a limited edition print of one of the book illustrations. And there's podcast appearances. Reach out to podcasters in your genre. Right? This is a great way to gain exposure and to reach your target market. You can do email, newsletters, and stuff. There's paid advertisements. Run targeted ads on Facebook, Instagram, or Amazon, right? Even use, get book reviews and influencers. Send them free copies. Get them to share their thoughts. And then, of course, community engagement. Participate in book fairs, book signings, and so on. Writing your story is a wonderful journey. Publishing your story is a proud accomplishment. Everyone has a story. I can't wait to read yours. If anyone's looking for assistance in publishing, in editing, in writing, please reach out. I want to thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session. As we transition to our next expert, remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit connectedleadersacademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.